Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today, we're going to be talking about IBM's role in an educational model known as PTEC, which was established in 2011 with a mission to empower students with the skills they need for careers in STEM. We'll be talking with Joelle Mangan, Executive Director of the PTEC program at IBM, as well as PTEC graduate and hardware developer Eric Cholula Martinez, and PTEC graduate and IBM apprentice Suhailia Karamdoran.
If you want to hear previous entries in this series, you can simply look up the episodes labeled Smart Talks in our feed from earlier this year. And you can also check out the episodes of Smart Talks on the iHeartMedia podcast Tech Stuff.
And now let's jump right into our conversation. Joelle, let's start with you. Can you tell us a bit about yourself, your background, and how you wound up working for IBM?
Yeah, so I joined PTEC just about over a year ago. I am actually a recent American. I was born in Africa in a country called Cameroon. And I moved to the U.S. about 8 years ago after, you know, doing work and studying in the U.K. and working all over Europe in Sweden and Denmark, mainly in IBM's consulting business. So I joined our CSR team a couple of years ago, and this has been my most exciting work at IBM, doing this work at PTEC.
Now, what led you to get involved specifically in education?
Education has always played a really important role in my life. I have benefited from a lot of opportunities that my peers did not get, and the outcomes in our lives is very, very clear to see as we've all gotten older. Also, my mom was an avid believer in education. She stopped her education at the age of 13. And she was so insistent that we get the best possible education that we could get and that we took it seriously. And what was really inspirational was that after she had six children and she was 35 at the time, she went back to school and she studied to become a teacher. And she was an elementary school teacher for the rest of her life. So it's something that has been a really passionate thing in our family. So we work a lot in education, but mainly in access to education. And this is my first foray really into the systematic part of education.
Well, let's talk about PTEC for a second then. So first of all, can you just tell us what PTEC is, what it stands for, and then how does it work?
PTEC stands for Pathways to Technology Early College High School. And so now you know why we just call it PTEC. So PTech was conceived 10 years ago to have a different and innovative way to tackle the skills gap. I think we can talk about the skills gap in a minute, but I'll focus really on how PTech works. PTech allows ninth graders in a PTech school to complete a STEM-related associate's degree and their high school diploma at the same time. So the aim of the program is that while you're in high school, that you complete that your PTech program with a STEM-related associate's degree, as well as your high school diploma, obviously. So instead of having a 9-12 model, so the K-12 model that we're all familiar with is a K-14, which means there's an extra 2 years that a student may use to be able to complete both the diploma and the associate's degree in a STEM field. What is unique about PTech is the role that industry plays. So there are three parties to every PTech school. There is the high school, there is the community college, which offers the associate's degree, and then there's the business. What the business does in PTech, which is really unique in this education programs, is that it aligns the degree pathway to what is a growing job area that is in high demand for the future of work. And then the business provides mentoring for the students, which is to help them build a series of 11 critical skills that are really important for work these days. And then the last thing we do is to provide paid internships to provide real experience at work and to expand the network of students, and also to demystify work in the tech space. And then lastly, the students who complete and become graduates of PTech are first in line to be able to take jobs in the companies that they are partnered with in their PTech school.
So, Suhailia, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what led you to get involved with PTech?
So when my parents started their divorce, I was in my last year of middle school, and my dad was the sole provider of the household. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and the reality for me at that time was, since I won't be with dad, I don't have money for college, and it was really scary. And PTech was starting in the high school in our area, and I said, hey, this is a really great opportunity if I get chosen to get a college education without having to pay for it. So when I chose to apply, it was just, I had a minor interest in tech from when I lived in the Bronx, and I was a part of the Lego robotics team at my elementary school. And I thought, if I could just apply that little piece of knowledge to whatever coursework I'll face in high school, then maybe I have a good chance at surviving college and high school together.
So do you still have a particular interest in robotics, or have you moved on to other things?
PTech really helped me realize there are multiple sectors in tech, and it's just not engineering per se. Right now, I'm a part of the UX design apprenticeship, because during my time at PTech, I got to be a CSR intern, and I got to realize helping people and interacting with people is something I really love. And robotics wasn't anything like that, so it wasn't my passion.
And you said, sorry, just for people who aren't familiar, so it's user experience, but what is CSR?
Oh, it's the corporate social responsibility team at IBM.
Oh, great. And Eric, same thing. Can you tell us a bit about your background, about yourself and your interests, and what led you into PTech?
Yeah. So what led me to PTech was I went to the orientation where Rashid Davis talked about how you can get a free associate's degree along with your high school diploma. And I thought, you know, what better way of getting a degree? It's free. And for sure, I'd probably be in debt if it wasn't for this program. So I'm very thankful to PTech. Right now, I'm a hardware developer at IBM. What I do mainly is characterize chips and characterize things inside mainframes to better understand our systems and to further progress them for future generations of IBM machines.
Now, I'm curious, what does it mean to characterize a chip?
So it would just be to stress test them. Have you ever played a video game, like in terms of like a console or PC?
Mm-hmm.
As you could tell, like stressing the system would differ between you know, playing a game that runs 60 frames per second versus just Googling something. So we're just taking different workloads and seeing how much power, how much amperes and stuff like that the chips would produce when running different stress tests.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Cool. Will the new BioShock melt my computer?
I don't think that's my question, but...
Joel, let's come back to you. So if you think about PTEC as an answer, what is the question? What are the problems it is designed to solve?
So we mentioned the skills gap before, and just to explain what the skills gap is that in the marketplace, there are, and this has been consistent for more than 10 years, the technology is changing jobs very, very quickly. So there used to be a couple of companies, tech companies that needed technology skills. Now every company needs technology skills. And what we've seen is that the jobs that are available in the marketplace, there are not enough people with skills to actually fill those jobs, who have the skills to fill those jobs. The paradox of all of this is that there actually is a large population of people who are unemployed. So the labor market has people who could be taking these jobs, but they are not. They don't have the skills to take this job. So that's the skills gap. That's one thing that PTEC is trying to solve. The second thing that PTEC is trying to solve, which is much more fundamental, and it speaks to why we start at ninth grade, is that one way of looking at the labor market is to look at what that gap is between the jobs that are available and the skills. And that skills gap right now, as we're speaking, or at least before COVID, was about 700,000 tech jobs that were going unfilled because the skills were not available in the marketplace. The other way to look at that is like, why are they not available in the marketplace? And if they were, like, which types of people do not have access to those jobs? So there's sometimes where it's not just a matter of skills, but it's a matter of opportunity. So are you getting the option to get a degree? Are you getting the option to get a degree in the right area that puts you on a path to be able to get a job? Do you have the networks to actually get a job? Would you even find out if this job was going in a place like IBM? Do you have the networks to be able to get into that? And so if we look at our society, there are many people who are just locked out of this opportunity. So there's also an opportunity gap. And what PTEC is trying to solve is, like, in the communities that business is working, how can we create a program, a way for people who have talent to be matched with the opportunity to get into these jobs, but also to acquire the skills and the credentials to get to the job. So if you look at PTEC design, this integrated curriculum where you get your associate's degree and where the associate's degree is really the output, is putting you in a place where you can get that job. But then everything about the mentorship and the paid work experiences is about expanding that network and giving you access to where the jobs are. So you have a strong network and you have also strong visibility to be able to get into these jobs.
So, Joel, this might overlap with the answer you just gave, but maybe this will get at a different aspect of it. PTEC was created about a decade ago, right? And roughly in the wake of the Great Recession, when obviously the jobs outlook was or had recently been pretty grim for a lot of people. How has the world changed since then? Does PTEC still address the same problems it was originally meant to solve, or have new challenges and opportunities presented themselves over the course of the lifetime of PTEC?
So when PTEC was created, the unemployment rate, I think, was about 10% after the financial crisis. And when you look at these big economic shocks that we get, like COVID and the financial crisis, they always lead to unemployment. What has been strange about, perhaps not so strange because we see the acceleration of technology. The acceleration of technology has only gone faster and faster. Is that even in those times of recession, and even now when you look at COVID, the jobs that still continue to remain unfilled and still continue to grow and be stable are tech jobs. So in a way, PTEC is more relevant now than ever. And there's a recognition of that actually in education systems around the world. So just in the past 18 months, PTEC has grown from 8 countries to 25 countries. And that's because many policymakers around the world are now really seeing the need to be adopting these types of programs into their public education systems that really better prepare people to fill the skills gap, but also in a way that opens up opportunity for people within communities to be able to get access to these jobs. So I would say it's much more relevant now than ever, and we're seeing it in the adoption rates.
If you could speak to some specifics and concrete examples, what kind of new tech and tech-related jobs are really emerging today and in the near future as opposed to in the recent past?
Yeah, so there are a few jobs that simply did not exist 5 years ago, but are really very prominent now, or when perhaps were not as prominent. So if we look at cloud and DevOps jobs, there are new versions of those now that are relevant in the marketplace and that have developed. AI jobs are frankly new in many areas. But then if you look at much more of the stable tech jobs like software development, hardware development, which is something that Eric does, you see that there's been not only constant, but they're growing. And also what Cirelli is doing is user experience design. We're creating so many more products right now that are in the hands of consumers that are not mechanical anymore, where it's about how the consumers react with products and how they interact with them. So there's just a lot of new jobs that have been created, jobs that have changed. But the most important thing is that the acceleration of technology means that this continues to, we continue to see a very, very strong demand in these new jobs.
So I guess as you just alluded to, it's not just that students who are preparing to enter the workforce today need specific technical skills that are relevant to the jobs that exist, but they also need to be able to adapt to a constantly changing set of requirements for the technological world we live in. So I guess this is a question for all three of you. Maybe Joel, we can start with you. Do you think adaptation itself is a skill that can be taught? If the tech industry is constantly and rapidly changing, does a technology education require training on how to adapt to new skills?
I think what we what we've all experienced, I guess, as students going through university and going through college is that the education system just changes a little slower than the technology space and specifically tech, because tech is just moving so fast. And frankly, it's hard for any sector, even policy, to catch up. So what I think is unique about PTech in the way that it helps people react to change and continue to learn is this idea that we spend a lot more time with the young people, exposing them to what happens in industry. I think giving people a sense of what is happening in industry, having them, giving them the chance to work with mentors, giving them the chance to work with internships, seeing how just the things that they play with in school, how much it changes by the time they get to their internship, how much it changes by the time they get to work. It gives them the same experience as we have at work, where we know we have to continually learn because it's very clear to us in the way we work just how much things are changing and that we have to keep up our skills. So I think it really starting and giving young people that exposure way before they have to face that world is something that I think is a critical component of PTech.
And so, Suhailia and Eric, do you have thoughts about this? Did your educational experience or does your educational experience incorporate that feeling that you need to learn how to adapt in addition to just learning, you know, what skills are required today?
Yeah, I could definitely say that it's kind of something you learn while in college, or at least I did. It's not about just programming something. It's about learning how to fix it. It's about, you know, identifying the problem, looking at it through multiple lenses and determining what solutions are there, and then eliminating those solutions so you get to the best one.
I personally think that learning to adapt doesn't even relate only to tech. During my time in PTech, all of my teachers, whether it be in English or social studies, they explained that as time goes on, things have to change. And just because you learn how to do something one way doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. And understanding how to study, understanding how to research are all important parts of adapting and making yourself a better person so you're better equipped to solve problems.
All right, let's come back to Joel here. Is the need for new technological skills something that primarily affects people in the tech industry, say software and hardware developers, or does this apply to other fields as well?
We have a belief in the company at IBM that all jobs are going to be impacted by technology. So we all, regardless of what we do, when I say technology, the AI specifically and automation are impacting all jobs. If you're a restaurant right now, your interaction with technology is massive, especially during COVID. You're probably filling, you know, most of your orders and your revenue through a tech interface for delivery and takeout during this period. And that's just a small example. So we believe that no matter what job you're in, it is really important to get to understand the technologies that are impacting our lives, that are very much in our lives and are changing the nature of our work and are changing the nature of our society. One of the things that we've done alongside PTech is to create a platform called Open PTech. And Open PTech is really focused on this. It's about like really helping students, regardless of whether they're in PTech or outside PTech, to learn about these key technologies that are really transforming our lives. And they are cloud, artificial intelligence, there's cyber, there is blockchain. And very much design thinking, which is a way of how we solve problems. So these are some of the things that are really impacting our lives. And I think everybody needs to understand them because they are impacting society, not just jobs.
So I'm interested in the way that PTech fuses together secondary and post-secondary education into one unified pathway. I guess first, Joelle, what was the thinking behind that design? And then for Eric and Suhailia, what is that experience like?
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear the experience of Eric and Suhailia here. The thinking behind that is that pathways have been proven to impact completion. So you see pathways a lot in education programs, and they've been shown that when you have built-in pathways for students, you help them complete whatever you're trying to get them to the goal. And the other thing is that early college students that take part in any kind of early college ended up going to college more. So those two things that were existing successful things within the education system were brought into PTech. So this pathway of fusing both high school and college was something that was already proven to, taking the early college was already proven to work for students. The big difference that we brought in was that there was a real clear goal right now. And the goal was that you leave PTech with a degree. And so instead of just having early college courses where you can take whatever you like and just have access to early college, this is packaged in such a way that you are taking things that all together actually deliver you something, that all of your early college opportunity is really focused on delivering you this this associate's degree. The associate's degree is really the goal in PTech, because the high school diploma is something that was created in the agrarian economy. It's not enough anymore to take you, to really guarantee you a career. So, but at the same time, you don't need a four-year degree to be able to get into some of the some really good, well-paid jobs right now. I mean, 50% of the jobs that IBM is advertising right now do not need a four-year degree. So there was this point about the associate's degree, which is a critical point to get students to, and fusing these pathways together to allow them to have a strong pathway that was guided, where they will be housed in a high school and don't have drop-off points where they have to like finish one and then say, okay, I'm going to apply to that and move into a different system. Those things are proven to help students complete. So that's why the pathway and the fusing of those pathways was important in the design.
And Eric and Suhailia, what are your thoughts on this? What was the experience like? And did you have, say, friends or peers to compare the experience with who weren't involved in educational pathways that fuse together the associate's degree with the high school experience the same way?
Yeah, so for me, the experience went pretty smoothly, but that was fortunate. I think it definitely did set me up for success, without a doubt. In terms of, like, I had exposure to robotics as Suhailia had, and I did it for basically all my years in high school. And not only that, it kind of translated into other courses I took at a college level. And in addition to that, it also sets up a nice foundation. So I didn't stop at my associate's degree. I continued to get my bachelor's. It sets a nice foundation in terms of either you could stop at your associates or not and continue with your bachelor's.
I would say the PTech experience is one of a kind. There's not anything you could compare it to if you've been through the traditional high school model, because you're taking high school classes alongside your college classes. And whether that be in the high school or on a college campus, they're very different. And when you have teachers like at my school that weren't a part of the PTech staff that would teach you alongside your non-PTech student colleagues, it was just different seeing how everyone reacted to certain situations. I feel like PTech prepares you more for the outside world, like after high school, what that's going to look like. Because during my time in PTech, they were like, hey, this is how you set yourself up for the future if you want to have an apprenticeship or an internship. And at the same time, my high school friends that weren't in PTech were just going about their high school experience like, hey, there's a football game on Friday. And I was like, I can't. I have a test on Monday for college. I got to study. So PTech really teaches you how to manage your time and yourself pretty well. And because of that, I feel like it prepared me a lot better for after high school graduation, what life was going to look like.
Oh, that sounds like it comes back to the question about adaptation, the kind of skills that are applied to anything, really.
Yeah, and I think Eric somehow managed to just sail by. But when we talk to PTech students, we definitely see that the schedule can be grueling, which is wonderful that we have so many students who drive through. And so when we look at the graduates that come, we are to our business who finish this, we're looking at people that we know are seriously motivated. And I've really shown just by going through this program that it means a lot to them, and that they can work and that they can drive through, and that they have discipline.
So I think when Joel talks about discipline, it really sets the PTech students apart from traditional high school model students, because when you step into the college realm of your coursework, your college teachers look at you and go, hey, I know that you're 16, but I'm not going to treat you like you're 16 because you're being held to a different standard here at the college. And I can't say, you know what, they're 16, I'm going to grade them differently, because that's not the point of PTech. They're trying to give you the skills that adults have so you can go have a career outside of high school. And it was really motivational to be able to see that there were other people like me that I knew that held the same values and disciplines as I did, because it made the high school part of my experience a lot easier, because there were people whose goals aligned with mine. So it was a lot easier to make friends and have study groups.
So Joelle, let's come back to you. What aspects of PTech are you most proud of?
I'm really proud about its systemic nature, that it is built into the education system. So what that means is it starts to contribute to the body of knowledge that we have about, like, how do we think about the education system in the future. So, so I like the fact that it's not like a private program that, you know, a company has created on the side. It's actually built in within the public education system, where the responsibility still for the curriculum and everything is the same as everywhere else in the public education sector. And then the business is coming to augment and add this alignment. The other effect of that is that we are reaching in and actually making sure that economic growth is inclusive. So if I just look at our own company, we are firmly creating talent and hiring talent from New York. And we're making sure that by the time we're looking for talent, we are not just looking at those who've who've managed to go to Harvard and to MIT. We're trying to make sure that we go and give access to young people to be able to get the qualifications that they need and build the skills that they need to be able to get access to these jobs. So the talent is there, and the talent needs opportunity. So the other part of that I'm really proud about is that we are actually creating opportunity for talented young people to be able to bring their talent to benefit our business. And that way, when we get to grow, or when a business is growing and the economy is growing, it's more inclusive with PTech. So those are the two aspects that I'm really proud of.
So Eric and Suhailia, a couple of questions for you two, and we'll start with you, Suhailia. What would you tell a student who's considering going down this path? What would you tell them about P-TECH?
I would tell them it's one of the most rewarding experiences that they could look back on, as long as they're serious about it. When I look at my experience in high school, I would look at the students who didn't take P-TECH as seriously, and I would feel bad because they're missing out on this great opportunity because they don't feel passionate about whatever degree we were earning, whether it be cybersecurity, computer science. So I would tell them, if you're not passionate about the degree that your P-TECH school offers, don't feel like you have to apply because someone said this is a good idea and you should do it. As long as you're passionate about what you're learning about and you're passionate about making a change in the STEM field, you'll be okay. And there are going to be so many people you'll meet along the way that are going to help you, whether it be academically or outside of that in your internships. You'll have mentors who will tell you, hey, this is how you overcome this fear you have about public speaking. I used to be really shy. Like, something like this would have literally brought me to tears, how scared I would have been. But my mentor was there and was like, hey, baby steps, this is how we're going to accomplish being more outspoken and being more of a people person. And if it wasn't for her, if it wasn't for P-TECH, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So I would tell them, be passionate and take it very seriously, because it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, because after high school, P-TECH isn't an option.
Awesome. What about you, Eric?
I would definitely tell them if this is the path they want to take, because there are different P-TECHs out there. Like, I think there are even some now that are catered to the medical field. So I would tell them to make sure that's what you want to do, because sometimes you get into it, or sometimes you're not really passionate about it and you end up leaving, or you end up not caring. I would also tell them that, you know, definitely you're going to have to take some time out of your day to study, take some time out of your day to really just apply yourself, because it is a workload, but it is rewarding at the end.
So I would say that the coolest part of P-TECH is it's gender inclusive. And I'm really proud of the efforts that the P-TECH model puts forward to include females in STEM professions. I remember when I took my first college class, the class before us that was in the room, there were only two girls in the class that left, and the rest of the class was boys. And when my class entered the room, I looked around and I realized there was actually a 50-50 split of girls and boys in that room. And it felt really empowering to know that me and my female classmates were going to be a part of a generation of STEM professionals that younger girls could look up to. And at my school, we had the She Can STEM event every March for Women's History Month, which was something I implemented during my time as an intern. And being able to look at middle school girls in the school district and say, hey, I'm a girl in a computer profession, which is really crazy considering anytime you ask them what an engineer looks like, what a computer scientist looks like, they usually say someone like Steve Jobs. And no offense, but it's always a guy. And being able to be a girl that younger girls could look up to was really cool. And P-TECH is the only platform I've ever seen give women a chance to say, hey, I enjoy technology and I'm really good at what I do. So they gave us a voice to be like, hey, I have something I can bring to the table, and it made you feel comfortable speaking out.
So finally, Joelle, what do you see for the future for this program and for programs like it?
I'll start with my hopes. I hope that they continue to inspire policymakers and education leaders about how we should be looking at continually improving our education system going forward with the world that we have right now and with the challenges that we face. That's my hopes. We have P-TECH is a mature model right now. It's 10 years old, and so It is clear that it's working. There has been a report that has just been published by an independent party, MDRC, which has shown that students are actually getting better outcomes as a result of PTEC. We're seeing, as more schools mature, that more of our graduates are going to college and getting hired also in companies like ours, and those numbers are growing. So from an impact perspective, we know that it works. We are really looking for making sure that policy makers get inspired by it and take it up and implement it in as many places as possible. What I'm excited about is that I think it's a privilege to get to work on some of the problems that we're working on as a company. We, just by the nature of being a large global company, we get to see really interesting problems that are brought to us by our clients that help to change the world. And I think it's wonderful that we are creating the opportunity for people who are talented, like Suhelia and Eric, to be able to bring their talents to work on these types of problems. I think we should make sure that that people in society get the chance to work on world-changing things. So I'm really excited by the fact that we are working in areas where we're giving students real opportunity to take their talents and contribute to world problems that they can be really proud of. So I want to see PTEC in more states, in more schools, and just continue to see the model grow both in the US and internationally.
All right. Well, thanks again to Joel, Suhelia, and Eric for chatting with us today. Again, if you want to hear more from this series, you can look up the episodes of our show as well as episodes of Tech Stuff labeled Smart Talks. To learn more about Smart Talks, you can go to ibm.com/smarttalks. And to read more about PTEC, you can check out www.ptech.org.
And of course, if you want to hear other episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thank you.